The following program is furnished by Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. AM 790 Talk and Business presents Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Join Bronwyn to hear about the next Waterfire event in downtown Providence, plus other great cultural events happening in the community. Now, here's your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser.
And hello, 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 everybody, and what a gorgeous, beautiful, temperate day. I have been out of Rhode Island for the last 4 days. I went to Puerto Rico, where I thought it was going to be warmer than it is here, but I hear that it was like 90 degrees, and people were suffering through the weather, or maybe joyful that it was 90 degrees because it's been going from 50 to 90. But it's a beautiful temperate day today, and it's Thursday, and I've got such a wonderful show, and I am very, very excited because my colleague from Waterfire Providence, Nicole Purcell, who is our director of philanthropy, who is heading up just this incredible building campaign and helping pretty much keep all of those fires burning, and the Waterfire Arts Center, the new Waterfire Arts Center, which we are having a ribbon cutting coming up on June 19th, which she will tell us more about, and more about what's happening in the building. She's here in the studio with me. So, hey, Nicole.
Hi, Bronwyn. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you. I know. I just got off a plane.
It has been steaming here. Steaming, steaming hot. I'm very pleased that today is a lovely day. So you must have brought the temperate weather back.
Well,
Puerto Rico.
I don't know, because it sounds like it was a lot nicer in Puerto Rico. But, you know, when I look back, I left literally right after our fire on Saturday. And for our listeners out there, I mean, Nicole, was not the most beautiful evening.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was really a perfect evening. We had a really nice crowd and lots of people out to enjoy the Day of Portugal celebration.
Yeah.
And I know you can talk more about that. And we had lots of great performances at the Basin and a whole load of things happening.
Well, it was so nice to see because, you know, it was interesting. I went on Friday because it was this weekend-long celebration. And it's funny because we're going to be talking to Joe Wilson Jr., right?
Coming, we sure are.
And we'll talk a little bit. We're going to take a look back at the PVD Fest, which was a four-day celebration. But the Day of Portugal celebration. On Friday, I had gone to the State House, and the amount of people who showed up and that were there to do the kickoff of and the celebration of this whole weekend and the culture of Portugal and the fact that, you know, there's a lot of pride that's coming back into that culture. And for people who listened to the radio station last week and to the show last week, we had on Leonel Teixeira, who is the president of the Day of Portugal, and Marie Fraley, who is from Rhode Island College. And the one thing I didn't understand or that I learned from them was that, you know, a lot of the Portuguese culture and people came over in the 30s and decided that they were going to become more Americanized. So they weren't necessarily passing down the language and the culture to their kids because they were looking more to integrate themselves into our culture. But now those tables are kind of turning. So they're seeing, you know, this insurgence of pride again now in the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren that want to look back and look at culture, which is why I was so excited when we were there on Saturday to see all of those incredible things happening, whether it was the music that, you know, occurred on the Basin stage.
Music and food and, you know, celebrations of language. And I think there was a table that I saw at the Day of Portugal exhibition where they actually had, you know, you could learn the Portuguese words for common American words, which is kind of fabulous. And we had lots of people stopping by our Waterfire reception just asking where the Day of Portugal things were going on. So that was really wonderful. And they also just had a perfect evening. I mean, it was just beautiful.
Well, I keep saying
beginning to end.
Well, yeah, I mean, remember, and the weather was awful the days leading up to it.
Exactly.
And yeah, see, we were celebrating. So this is our producer, Ed Dunn. He's just throwing stuff in here, and it's great. I love it. but yeah, so it was a wonderful evening, and I think that we're always so blessed. You've been with WaterFire for over a year, and seeing that, you know, it can be raining up till the day right before, or even the morning of. And what is your feeling about, like, the whole event and how that happens? Because I think we sit in God's pocket, like, literally.
We're... I think so. I think there's, the blessings of the universe often smile upon WaterFire. I think last year we had, like, rain for 6 minutes at one event, and it was the prettiest, like, it was a sweet rain. It wasn't a downpour, and I think that we probably, as a unit, create those things. Mm-hmm. As a community, you know, we create that sort of pocket where weather is beautiful and people are warm to one another. And I think that is the spirit of WaterFire, is to inspire this sense of community well-being, and the weather clearly follows suit.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll continue to follow suit for the rest of this season, because we have 8 or 9.
I think we've got 8 or 9 full lightings, and then we have some basin lightings that are going to be happening. But so after a year and a half at WaterFire and going down and feeling that energy, and I know that you're a very spiritual person and very passionate. What is your general sense when you're down by the river and when you feel everything and coming together? Because, again, as you said, we're here for, like, what, 10 to 12 events, like large events, but you and I are working. And plus, mm-hmm. actually, our whole entire staff works almost completely year round doing a lot of things. What would you say is your experience?
I think what I really, truly love about WaterFire is that every event, the essentials of the event are all the same, right? You know, we have boats on the water. We light braziers. Mm-hmm. We have beautiful music. And those are sort of the essentials of the event. But every night is sort of a different peaceful feeling. And it's often built around an issue that's really important to the community, you know, education or healthcare or celebrations of culture. And we have this, you know, quilt of beautiful cultures here in Rhode Island. And WaterFire has and continues to celebrate all of those cultures. And so there is that feeling of every event having these essentials which make it beautiful,
mm-hmm.
but then also having these really, this unique spirit at each event. And then of course, you know, with our work, so we encourage people to support this really important community work, and to support WaterFire, which is an organization that has helped to transform our city, has helped to bring some economic stimulus to Rhode Island,
mm-hmm.
Has helped to do any number of things which are so important to our community. And, you know, sharing that with our supporters down by the river is often a really beautiful piece too, where we get to share that unique spirit of the lightings that we're at, mm-hmm. with a group of people who are already primed to appreciate those experiences, but who often then take another step in helping to make them even greater and even mm-hmm. more wonderful. And that is inspiring as a person who's working year round to make it happen. And I'm sure you'll agree that that is the source of the passion that we have, are that it isn't just us. You know, we're a team putting this event together a dozen times or more during the course of a season. But we also understand that there are hundreds of volunteers, mm-hmm. and hundreds of donors and dozens and dozens of sponsors who are stepping up and helping to make these things happen for our community and our city.
And there's that, and there's the fact that the audience is part of the artwork.
That's right.
I mean,
that's
it's right. The energy that's coming from the river that, you know, we see. And I'd love, you know, if you're out there and you're listening and you haven't checked out our Facebook page yet, you probably should, because it's very interesting to see people talking to each other and their experiences and feeling, you know, their feelings that they bring to the river is, you know, and me, and I was an actress. Every night was different because of, you could feel the energy of the audience, and it changes the performance, you know, the energy of the audience. And I think that's what is such a beautiful thing about it.
It's an extension of that quilt of culture that we have in our beautiful city and state. You know, we have people from 1,000 different backgrounds coming together and having this very personal experience, but sharing that personal experience with the people to their left and their right and behind them. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever been downtown on a Waterfire night, you know, it's thousands and thousands who are there, all having these very beautiful personal experiences, inspired by music and art and performers and all of these gorgeous things. But then they're celebrating it as one mass of cultures and identities. And I don't think there's another organization in the city that does what we do.
No,
we're in the state that does what we do.
Nicole, come on. We were right? just listed as one of the top five, you know, light festivals
right.
in the world. So
that's
yeah,
right.
I, you know.
So you know, it's a real pleasure to be a part of that, and and I think most of our staff would agree that it really is a real pleasure and a real privilege to be a part of putting together this spectacular experience that has done so much for the city and the state.
So we're talking about what happens down on the river. But mm-hmm. when you came mm-hmm. on board, we were just, you know, God, we needed you. We needed you so badly to come and help bring things together, because we have this new building and we are revitalizing and, you know, not only Waterfire down on the river revitalized downtown Providence, we are now moving towards Olneyville, and we are creating and bridging that gap. And you came in right at the time when we were looking at our new building. It was in the middle of being built. So I want to talk about the Waterfire Arts Center, because we have a ribbon cutting coming up.
We sure do, on Monday morning, and it's very exciting.
And I know that you're going to be able to, you know, well, one, what time is it at?
It's at 10:30 in the morning. And we've got a real nice program, including lots of our state dignitaries and our city dignitaries and supporters are coming out. And we're going to do a little speaking program to talk about the space. And our congressional delegation, most of them will be there celebrating with us.
And I've been looking, I saw some of the RSVPs that are coming through. It's like everyone's coming out from the community to see what we have done at 475 Valley Street.
That's right.
And what a difference it has been. And, you know, within the year that you've been here, what are your thoughts on the Waterfire Arts Center? And can we tell people kind of what it is that we're going to expect and what we're doing with the building? Because I went on a tour with you, and I learned more walking around with you, walking around with other people about what's going to happen in the building. But yeah, what do you, you know, it's, so it's the Waterfire Arts Center. For a lot of people,
sure,
they don't know what that
sure.
means.
Sure. So we purchased this building back in 2012, mm-hmm. And it is was built in 1929. Part of the American Rubber Complex, and we have revitalized it. And, you know, we've got a lot of dreams for this space. We were very blessed to receive some new market tax credits, as well as some historic tax credits, and a brownfield grant that helped us to clean up the toxicity at the space, which is always a great thing to do. And now that it is revitalized, we have this opportunity to dream about how we extend WaterFire's impact on the river to the Olneyville corridor, our, you know, the Olneyville and Valley neighborhoods. And, you know, we've talked about any number of things in the building, but right off the bat, we will be having some education programming, including a program with a gentleman here in town with girls and coding. So this
Arnell Milhouse.
I wasn't sure. So I was sure of the name. I wasn't sure whether we wanted to talk about that. But he's doing this fabulous program in one of our spaces at the building that's going to teach young women from underserved communities how to code.
Yeah.
And it's a really great way to prep young people for entry into a workforce that looks a lot different than Rhode Island's workforce looked back when our building was constructed in 1929. You know, we were a manufacturing state. Yeah. And with manufacturing sort of not as robust as it once was, programming that encourages people to learn new technology like coding with these young women is going to be vitally important. And so that's just one example of an education program that we'd like to do in the building. We're also talking about some arts education, some education around boat design and boat building.
Well, exactly. You know, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people, and I know you as an artist as well, because you are an artist and you're also a businesswoman, so you combine both of those aspects of one's personality. But some people think, you know, you've got to be one or the other, and that there's no kind of crossover there. And I always think about Barnaby, our boss, who is probably one of the most intelligent men I've ever known, a real Renaissance man who can maintain and retain all sorts of knowledge. But he's also an artist. But it's like people don't understand that building those braziers, which are the iron baskets, that took a lot of mathematical skill, and that, no, he didn't go to school to be an artist to begin with. He went to be a scientist.
He was a scientist, yes.
Yeah, which a lot of people think, like, no, he went to RISD and he was an artist, and that, and it's like, no. We've got to like bring that back and retell that story. I know we're going to have to take a break in a second, so, but when we come back, let's talk more about the ribbon cutting and the WaterFire Arts Center and what we see happening there. And I mean, we want to invite people to come down and visit and let them know how they can help and talk more about the programming. So you are listening to AM 790, your station for talk and business, and WaterFire Ignites Rhode Island, talking about the huge WaterFire Arts Center with my colleague Nicole Purcell, who is our director of philanthropy and leading the charge in getting the building off the ground, into the ground, and up and around. So we'll be right back in a moment.
It's time for Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Say hello to the new frozen Dunkin' Coffee, real Dunkin' Coffee, blended frozen, creamy, and smooth. Try a small for $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Heavy coming in on 195 westbound from Seekonk into the split. Slow getting across the bridges on the eastbound side of 195. That hangs up a bit on 95 north and south as you approach 195. Coming in on 146, trouble-free all the way in from Mineral Spring. A little slow around Admiral Street. And coming in on 6, slow from Dean and Atwell's Inn. Leaving town right now on 6. Still busy all the way out to the 10 split. Stays busy on 10 southbound past Union. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Drug or alcohol problems for you or a loved one can be solved, and with insurance, treatment may be at little or no cost. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now, 800-430-4149.
Meet the Smiths. They're sad. They found the house of their dreams on an online home search site, only to find out it had already sold. Meet the Joneses. They're celebrating. They're buying the Smiths' dream house. They found it on riliving.com, the source for homes for sale in and near Rhode Island. In fact, all other sites get their information from RI Living. But RI Living has it first, and RI Living has it right. Keep up with the Joneses. Find your new home on riliving.com.
This is Alan Albigari with Automated Business Solutions. Do you and your team spend hours and hours sorting through documents and then later digging through those piles and files? Our team can give you real solutions that will stop this wasted time and wasted effort. We help businesses throughout Southern New England with print and technology solutions that work. Visit us online at absne.com. Let us show you what we can do for your business.
Automated Business Solutions.
This is Amy from Moriarty's Fence, the Invisible Fence brand pet safety experts. The Invisible Fence brand works for all dogs, all breeds, all ages. We start training puppies as young as 10 to 12 weeks old, and we also keep cats safe at home too. The key to our 27 years of success is our customer service and pet training support. Our installed outdoor safety solutions start as low as $7.99 and can be customized for your property. Call 800-225-0808 for a free design and pet consultation visit, or schedule online at MoriartysFence.com. At Moriarty's Fence, we work hard so you can rest easy knowing your pet is safe at home.
But it just makes sense.
And it's invisible.
It's the fence that makes sense. Get the Invisible Fence.
Moriarty's Fence, 800-225-0808. Keeping pets safe since 1986. Moriarty's Fence reminds you to support your local shelter, adopt, volunteer, donate.
AM 790 Talkin' Business is the home of Recovery Radio, hosted by John Tassoni. Recovery Radio focuses on useful information for those suffering from alcohol, drugs, and other addictions. What services and organizations are making a difference, and which are right for your needs. John Tassoni brings it all into focus every Monday at 3 p.m.
Presented by 1-800-DRUG-HELP. Phoenix House, a national leader in the treatment of substance abuse, co-occurring disorders, and recovery. On your station for Talkin' Business, AM 790.
Now back to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dennenfelser. If you want to be a part of the show, give us a call at 401-437-5000 or toll-free 888-345-0790. Joining us in the station as well is Nicole from The Project to talk about the building and what's going on. Here they are once again.
Well, and hello, 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 and welcome back. You are listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island, and I am here with my colleague Nicole Purcell. We're talking about the Waterfire Arts Center, which is this incredible building that you might have seen if you've gone down Valley Street, or maybe you haven't, but we're doing a massive ribbon cutting. Waterfire has moved into there. We've had events there. And so we're going to be talking to Nicole in a second and to learn more about what's going to happen in that building, what has happened in that building, and what we see. And we have to thank a lot of people. But before we thank all the people that are helping us get this project off the ground, or actually in the ground, it's been built now, but there's still a lot to be done. I want to thank National Grid. They are the sponsor that brings Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island to you. So if you're out there driving around in your car and finding this interesting, well, thank you, National Grid. Thank you, Ed. So National Grid is a wonderful sponsor of ours, along with many, many others. But National Grid does underwrite this show, and they're just a wonderful supporter of everything here in our community. But to get back to the Waterfire Arts Center again, because a lot of people, again, can't conceptualize it, Nicole. They can't see it. We were just talking about some of the education programs that we want to have in there. But we moved in essentially in May, right?
We did. We moved into our offices early May. And what's nice about the building is that it is, for the very first time, bringing Waterfire's production and operations staff and our administrative staff together in one place. It has made this season's fires somewhat easier because we are able to bring the trucks to the building all in one place and have our operations team and our administrative team, who we coordinate together to bring the events to downtown Providence. And it has also provided a space where we can have volunteers at those nights to help us prep for the events.
We haven't had that.
It's a big difference.
We've never had that space before.
Yes, we've never had it. And so it is it's a huge difference for the team to be able to, you know, be together in the week before an event or 2 weeks before an event, to prep for it. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that is an elusive about water fire and interesting about water fire is that we put these events up and take them down in one 24-hour period. So the idea is that it happens by this sort of magic, right? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. All of a sudden this beautiful event is here and all these people are here and, you know, there's tents and there's stars and there's flames and wow, it happens. And then you go and you walk your dog at 7 o'clock on a Sunday after mm-hmm. a water fire and, was it even here?
Sounds a little bit like a Midsummer Night's Dream,
exactly.
Doesn't it?
it's this magic, you know, this really beautiful theatrical artistic magic. But what that creates is this impression that it just happens.
And that it's easy and that there's not
exactly
this like...
It. And that it's, you know, and also that it's paid for. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so the reality is that without sponsors like National Grid and individuals who step up to support water fire, we couldn't make this happen because events like this have costs, including for staffing and keeping the lights up and running and paying for wood and paying for metal and paying for trucks and, you know, getting those pieces that are these fixed costs that happen year round.
Yeah.
And then adding special things to the event to make it even more wonderful for people. And I think the magic of it, that it happens in 24 hours, what it does sometimes is guises the preparation and the work that our operations staff and that our production staff and that our administrative staff do to make that magic happen.
Well, you being a dancer, because I know that you danced for a long time and you're also a boxer. I hope you don't mind me saying
no,
that.
No, not at all.
But, you know, especially with dancers or in ballet dancers or anybody who's doing that, it's kind of like they get up and do the performance, but you don't see that they are training 12 hours a day. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand about water fire is that leading up to every event, it has taken months and months and dealing with volunteers, or not dealing with volunteers, working with volunteers, and very gratefully so, mm-hmm. and trying to put those pieces together. And now, you know, so we've been talking about that part of it, and so that's really nice that we're going to see that come back into the Water Fire Arts Center, where now we've got a place, because I don't think people understand how big it is.
That's right. It's huge. It is 37,000 square feet, the building as a whole. There is a what we call a nave space that is, I think, 22,000 square feet. And in that space, we have been holding some really beautiful community events. So we've had the Miriam Hospital had their gala, the Pell Awards, Trinity Reps Pell Awards were held in our space. We had a Sophia Academy gala. We had a gala for the Institute for the Study and Practice of Nonviolence. So we've had these wonderful other community organizations come in and utilize our space for their celebrations and to help support their wonderful work. And that's a really nice thing to be able to do. At the same time that we're trying to balance that against prepping for water fires in this space. And then eventually down the road, you know, we have this vision of bringing maybe some exhibitions of art where there isn't a space of this size in Rhode Island right now, where you can bring much larger pieces of art. And, you know, the thought is that in the long term, we would like to think about bringing larger exhibitions to Rhode Island and having artists who might not be able to work here now because there isn't a space that will accommodate the size of work that they want to create and exhibit here in Rhode Island. And so that's another sort of down the road. And again, this is a time where we have this opportunity for big dreaming. And
well, it's a blank canvas, essentially,
that's right?
I mean, as you're speaking, all I can think about is it's so multifaceted. So it's an event space that can hold About 1,000 people.
I think our capacity is like 1,200 people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and we've had the Miriam Gala has been our largest event so far, and it was 650 people, but they did split the large space, the event space, in half.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not crowded on either side, like overcrowded. It was obviously full, but it was comfortably full.
Mm-hmm.
So easily we can accommodate 1,200 people in this space. And we have access to some wonderful parking there, which is something that's very unique to the space. We have very large garage doors on the side of the building, which allows for larger sculptural objects or decor objects to be brought in and out very easily. We also had Roger Williams University came in and showcased all of their students' community projects. Now, they showcased 150 projects in the space, and we had around 400 people in and out of the building that evening. And
what's better than that?
It was wonderful. And it's just a really, it's a lovely opportunity for WaterFire to be able to host these magical events.
And there are some people that we need to thank. I mean, we've only got like a minute and a half before we have to take a break.
Sure.
But I know because, again, as Nicole has been saying, you know, this building is incredible. People can come take tours whenever they would like. They just have to reach out to Nicole at waterfire.org and,
right.
you know, and learn how you can actually help us because we're not done yet. We still need to raise the money for it. And not only for the event, now we need to raise the money to keep on going with the WaterFire Arts Center. But a lot of people have stepped up to the plate, Nicole, and
that's right.
To not say thank you, we would be remiss. So
I want to thank some of our key stakeholders thus far with the project. We've got Merle and Stanley Goldstein, Letitia and John Carter, Malcolm Chase Jr., Barnaby Evans and Irene Lawrence, the Hassenfeld Family Foundation, Dan Levinson, Pam and Charlie Myers, Amica Companies Foundation, Richard L. Brady, Champlin Foundations, Joseph Chazen, and the Sharp family. So those are our key stakeholders so far in the game. And I do want to invite everyone, if you would like to attend our ribbon cutting and celebrate with us and about 200 people so far from the community, please drop me an email at nicolep@waterfire.org. You can also email Bronwyn@waterfire.org.
Mm-hmm.
And just let us know you want to come and join us.
Yeah, because our doors are open, essentially. Everybody, you've been listening to AM 790, your station for talk and business in WaterFire Ignites Rhode Island. I'm here with my great colleague, Nicole Purcell. We've been talking about our ribbon cutting for the WaterFire Arts Center. When we come back, we're going to be talking about all the crazy stuff that Joe Wilson Jr. has been up to and Trinity Rep and PVD Fest. We're going to take a look back and then we're going to take a look forward to this weekend when, yes, it's Pride Weekend. And Joe's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on there because he's on the board. So we'll be back in a moment. Thank you.
No time to wallow in the mire. China, we can only lose.
Hey folks, Kevin here from Bruno & Co. Auctioneers. Join us Monday, June 19th for a fun Discover It auction of antiques, fine arts, furniture, and collectibles. The doors open at 3 p.m. The auction starts at 6 p.m. right at our gallery at 63 4th Avenue in Cranston. We are now looking for fine watches, jewelry, fine art, and antiques for our upcoming summer auctions. Call 533-9980 or visit our website, brunoandco.com.
That's Bruneau.
People make all kinds of mistakes with life insurance, like having some coverage but not enough to keep your family in the house, or only having life insurance through work and then losing your job. Want to avoid those mistakes? Get an Allstate agent. They can help you get the coverage your family needs at an affordable price. Are you in good hands?
To make sure you have the right coverage, call North Providence Allstate agent Natalia Furtado today at 722-4022. Get your free quote today, 722-4022.
This is the Bloomberg Green Business Report. President Donald Trump's moves to roll back Obama-era environmental and climate regulations won't stick. So says the government's former environmental chief under Trump's predecessor. Gina McCarthy, who led the EPA for nearly 4 years, says neither science nor the law is on Trump's side as the administration moves to repeal rules governing water pollution, carbon dioxide emissions from power plants, and methane leaks from oil and gas wells. McCarthy spoke during a meeting with Bloomberg News reporters and editors in Washington. In her words, nothing that they do here is going to stand up to science scrutiny or legal scrutiny. McCarthy's comments come as President Trump and her predecessor, EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt, prepare rules delaying or reversing a suite of regulations. She noted that the administration is getting rid of a series of rules without offering replacements. That approach might not survive in the courts and could lead to a reversal under the next administration. I'm Bob Moon, and that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report, brought to you by the United States Postal Service. Priority you.
We don't just carry our boxes to their destination. We carry your business. We carry your growth, your love of your products, and your service. When you hand your product over to us, we know how important it is to you, so we make it just as important to us. It's as if your entire store is right there in our hands. That's why at the United States Postal Service, we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone else in the country. The United States Postal Service. Priority, you.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring. And nobody makes it easier than Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, manage your candidates from one dashboard. According to an independent study, 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. New users claim your $50 credit to post a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Now back to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island on AM 790 Talk and Business. We've got a special guest coming on the line in just a moment, and here's Bronwyn to bring him on.
Hello, 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 and we are back here listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island. I'm here with my colleague, Nicole Purcell. We've been talking about the ribbon cutting happening Monday. Listen, if you're available, what a wonderful opportunity to come see the new building and to really see urban revitalization at its best, mm-hmm. I would say. Right, Nicole?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just a remarkable space that we were able to do something really remarkable with.
Yeah, and it's 10:30 again, and you know, I guess if you've been listening to the whole show, I know this is being repeated, but mm-hmm. everybody needs to know it's a Monday at 10:30, and you know, people can take tours of the building. There's going to be a lot of people and dignitaries there. I think we're all so happy to see that part of Olneyville, that to bridge that gap, you know, between downtown and then see what Waterfire can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you'll come and see the wonderful potential this space has mm-hmm. Now that it has been revitalized. So,
and it's funny, we were talking about the things that have happened in the building.
Yes.
And the things that are to come in the building. And I think that on the line, we have got that absolutely beautiful actor from a Trinity Rep, but he actually he wears many, many hats. It's Joe Wilson Jr. He's on the line with us. Hello, Joe.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. Just a little busy getting ready for Pride.
Well, I want to talk about that. We want to talk about a couple things. I've got Nicole here. We've been talking.
Hi, Joe.
Hey.
But we've been chatting about the building, and you've been in the building. You've emceed a couple of things in the building. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, what's incredible is I'm a proud resident of the West Side slash Federal Hill. And I say slash Federal Hill West Side because I'm right smack dab, literally in the middle of the dividing line. And, you know, I watched this neighborhood because I walked this neighborhood. I live like I've lived here in New York with no car. And so I've been around and seen what's happening here. And it's really encouraging and beautiful to see a building that symbolized the manufacturing textile heyday of this city. And now it's being transformed into a building that is featuring, I think, where the city is going now in the future in terms of it's being the creative capital of Rhode Island. The fact that you have what we once were now becoming what we now are is so moving to me. And so being in a space and seeing the huge crane that used to move wheels of whatever the hell he was moving. But it's incredible, incredible, incredible space. Mm-hmm. And now it's housing and serving as an engine toward fueling the creative capital. It's really great. And it's an incredible space. It's beautiful. The windows are, and it's a stunning space. And so I've had a chance to be there both to host the water fire, a fireball, and also recently for the Pell Gala, which is a benefit for my theater, Trinity Rep. It's an incredible space, and I look forward to, and I think I hope I'm not speaking too soon to say that I've been asked to host the fireball next year, so I'm looking forward to being back with you guys again in your space.
Not too soon, not too soon at all, Joe. And I'm going to steal everything you just said, FYI.
All right, please do, please do.
Yeah, it was wonderful. So, yeah, so, you know, hey, listen, everybody out there, if Joe says it's a cool place and that you want to go, then you should be there for the ribbon cutting.
And the most
Absolutely.
Important part, yeah, there's tons and tons of parking.
I know, and because that's one of the hardest things. All right, let's be honest. In Providence, isn't it? It's difficult. It's difficult, and you're right, Joe. There is tons of parking, and it's a beautiful thing. A totally beautiful thing. So tell me, you were the head of, were you part of the head of the parade or the grand marshal for the PVD Fest? I want to take a look back because, you know, we talk about more than just water fire, but the arts community, whether it's Trinity Rep, which we can speak to, I'm with you as well, but just the PVD Fest and you know, that four-day festival, how was that and what was your active role in that?
Well, it was incredible. But first I must say that, you know, my connection with water fire and with the building and with Barnaby and with Kibby and with Nicole and all you guys is because of their commitment to Trinity Rep and their commitment to other arts organizations. And so the kind of overlap and intersectionality among this community of people helping to support all of these endeavors is pretty remarkable and I think special mm-hmm. and unique within this country. But PVD Fest was it was an effort that was started by Mayor Jorge Lorza 3 years ago, and it's continually grown to being one of the biggest events in the city. And it's really great because, ironically, PVD Fest is in June, and it always coincides with being a week away from the Pride Festival, which before PVD Fest, Pride was literally the biggest event of the summer, attracting hundreds of thousands of people into the city.
Yeah.
The great thing about the PVD Fest is it gives the city becomes a canvas. Our architecture, our streets, our artists. We do invite national and international acts, but the city's been great even about providing spaces within those performances for local artists, i.e., you know, Chris Johnson, mm-hmm. Working with the aerial dance troupe that was in downtown Providence.
Bandaloop.
Yes, Chris. Chris trained with them in Oakland and came back and brought back his performance. And so it was an extraordinary weekend of events. The streets filled with people, the daytime filled with families, nighttime still filled with families, but also, you know, with a completely different vibe. My role as Grand Marshal was simply to walk around and wear a sash and to smile and wave and talk about how much Providence means to me.
Nice.
I really took it as being an honor from the mayor. They usually choose two artists or people involved in art making in this community to be grand marshals, and I was honored to be considered and chosen. It's an honor always to be recognized and hope that my work is making a difference in the community. I've been here now almost 13 years, and you know, my career has been from Broadway, off-Broadway, to regional theater. And, you know, success for me at one time was defined from going from one show to the next because, of course, that pays the rent and the mortgage. But what Providence has allowed me to understand is that my success does not have to be defined by simply doing one show to the next, but it's how much each show goes into building community and making my city a better place to be, and providing a space for people to have more civil conversations, to be a place where my art making provides us the opportunity to have tough conversations with empathy and compassion. And Providence has given me the space to do that. And so this art festival is not just about people literally making art or making music or doing cool things on the side of buildings. But art making is about providing a space, an equalizing effect for all people to come together, not just to enjoy and not just to laugh or cry, but through emotion and through feeling. That's one thing that binds us all together. Mm-hmm. And then we forget about all the problems of what's happening in the current political day. We come together for that weekend in June to celebrate the beauty of the arts. And this may sound really sort of strange and sort of mystical, but the idea, laughing and crying and feeling are things that we shouldn't ignore in our community. I mean, if we can come together to feel these things in a public space, it's like that puts us on a path to being more human and being more compassionate and being more understanding and solving problems in creative ways and in public spaces and having everyone being a part of that. And that's what the Providence Art Festival does. The Providence Art Festival is creating a space for us as a community to be more loving and more supportive. It was an incredible event, and I next year is going to be even bigger, and so I look forward to being involved in that as well.
Joe, that was so eloquently said, and I'm hoping that you might have a moment just to hang on the line with us. We've got to take a quick break, and then I want to come back, and I want to talk about this weekend's Pride Fest, because
Absolutely.
I know you're on the board, and boy, it's going to be a great one, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
All right, so everybody, you are listening to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. We're talking to Joe Wilson Jr. I'm here with Nicole Purcell, and we're about to talk about another great event happening in Providence this upcoming weekend. It's Pride Weekend,
Woo-hoo!
Everybody. Let's come together. Stay on the line.
It's time for Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Say hello to the new frozen Dunkin' Coffee, real Dunkin' Coffee, blended frozen, creamy, and smooth. Try a small for $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Coming up 95 northbound, still pretty heavy from 37 past Thurber's Curve and into downtown. If you're on 195 westbound, we have word of a crash over by Taunton Ave. Still watching that, but you're slow from about Pawtucket Ave all the way over to the bridges. After that, you're fine. Coming in on 6, still slow from 10 all the way in. Leaving town on 6, you're heavy all the way out to 10 south. Stays busy on 10 south. 295 northbound getting heavy as you approach 37. Stays busy all the way up to Plainfield Pike. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
Sponsored by the Knee and Back Pain Helpline. Learn how an insurance-covered comfortable knee or back brace can reduce your pain. Call 800-888-KNEE, 800-888-KNEE.
I miss in the morning, Yankees baseball, Celtics basketball, AM 790 WPRB Providence.
Sponsored by the Knee and Back Pain Helpline. Learn how an insurance-covered comfortable knee or back brace can reduce your pain. Call 800-888-KNEE, 800-888-KNEE.
AM 790 Talkin' Business congratulates Recovery Radio host John Tassoni for the 2017 Rhode Island Council on Gambling Advocacy Award. This award is given in recognition of offering hope and help to those struggling with addiction. Congratulations, John.
790 is your home for I Miss in the Morning, Yankees baseball, and great local and national talk. Check out the podcasts of your favorite AM 790 shows at 790business.com. I Miss in the Morning, Yankees baseball, and great local and national talk. 790 is your home for I Miss in the Morning, Yankees baseball, and great local and national talk. Check out the podcasts of your favorite AM 790 shows at 790business.com. I Miss in the Morning, Yankees baseball, and great local and national talk.
I Miss in the Morning, Yankees baseball, Celtics basketball, AM 790
WPR. So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-91-BIBLE.
Soldiers returning with traumatic brain injuries or other serious battle wounds often spend weeks or months in a VA hospital or other rehab facility. DVDs for Vets is collecting DVDs and portable players for distribution in our community and nationwide. Many of us take for granted our access to everyday enjoyments, and DVDs for Vets needs your help in giving these injured soldiers some diversions from the monotony of a hospital stay during recovery. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to www.dvdsforvets.org.
15 years ago that this went down, but...
And hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island, and we've been having a great show on this beautiful, beautiful day. And we've been talking to Joe Wilson Jr., who is going to tell us now about, you know, we've been talking about the great events and the great things that we see here that bring our community together in Rhode Island and in Providence. But Joe is on the board of the Pride Fest, which is happening this weekend. And Joe, we've only got 4 minutes, so I need you to... Do your best to pull it together and let everybody know what we're going to see this weekend.
I have faith in you, Joe.
Well, it's going to be an extraordinary weekend. This is, you know, what I'm mostly proud about, no pun intended, about this Pride is that, first of all, we are supported predominantly via our funds from local gay businesses. And in a time when we're all being very... aware of how gay pride parades and festivals are supported, I'm proud to say that our community has rallied around what we're doing. It's going to be an incredible weekend. Pride in Rhode Island is one of the largest pride festivals in the country. We are the only, or one of the only, nighttime pride parades in the country. We draw upon a region of people. This pride will attract about 100,000 people. And in many ways, and no offense to our Boston friends, we're even on par or as big as the Boston Festival. Right. We attract folks from Connecticut, from New York, from the upper New England area, and it truly is an extraordinary event. Downtown will be electric, and so I encourage everyone to come downtown and have a great time over the Friday and Saturday of our festival. The festival will take place from noon until 6 p.m., down by the river off of South Water Street. Mm-hmm. And then we will be having our nighttime parade starting at 8 o'clock downtown Providence. And, of course, there are tons of parties happening over the course of the evening. But please come on out. Please come on out. If I may have permission to address one thing.
Yes, sure.
There's been lots of controversy over the past few days around Philadelphia's inclusion of a black and brown stripe on the pride flag. And I want to say that one thing that we're focused on this year in our Pride Festival is really questioning and examining our role about being a more diverse and inclusive community. This was a movement that was started at Stonewall by marginalized people of color, by drag queens, by trans folk, by homeless people. And the movement has moved in a way that has gotten more mainstream and more commercial. And there's a call right now to include and to recommit ourselves to being more inclusive and to not allow our movement to be siloed, mm-hmm. as many movements have been.
Yes.
That we have done so much great work post marriage equality, but we still have so much more work to do in terms of being a more inclusive society. And we can't allow racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, those things cannot be a part of who we are as a gay community. But unfortunately, they still are a part of all of our communities. And so we, as Rhode Island Pride, the title of our festival this year are Rhode Islanders Standing for Equality.
Nice.
And we are committing ourselves to ensuring that our movement continues forward, post-marriage equality, but includes people of all color, all gender, all class, all identity. Pride must continue to be intersectionality, an intersectional event. Mm-hmm. We must continue, especially in these times, to link our arms around other people who are fighting for social justice. And as we ask other folk to embrace who we are, we must be on the front lines of embracing who our other allies are in the spaces of social justice. And so that's what we're committing to this year. We want everyone to be a part of that and to help us move our organization forward. But it's going to be an extraordinary event, and I'm so excited to be a part of it.
That's right. Preach, Joe.
Yeah, you know what, Joe? I'm just fascinated not only by everything that you said, but especially what you were just saying about keeping our minds open and our communities open and really how to move forward. I would be so grateful if you would come on after Pride Fest and talk a little bit more about those issues that we are trying to tackle right now, not only with water, fire, but with the arts. And I want to just thank you so much. I've got only 15 seconds. I need to thank Nicole Purcell for being on air with me. Joe, thank you so much for just
being you
and doing your work.
Thanks so much for listening.
And everybody, thank you for listening.
I Miss in the Morning, Yankees baseball, Celtics basketball, AM 790 WPRB Providence, a Cumulus station.